Well, we're gonna. My theme is gonna be kind of like concentrating and looking at our crazy lives. I don't know if about you, but sometimes you look in the mirror and like, what is going on? Like, everything's just like barreling in at once, right? Sometimes we get overwhelmed with everything. We're gonna start in John 16. As we do that, we're gonna start in verse 16. John 16:16. Kind of want you guys to put yourselves in the shoes of the apostles. This was right before Jesus was going to be betrayed. This was after doing all these miracles and everything. He'd been walking through it with them about 3 years, showing them that he was the Christ and showing them that he loved them and he wanted them to understand the truth, that way they could pass it along. They knew something was coming, right? They didn't know exactly what. They thought he was going to reign on earth on the throne in Jerusalem. They didn't know exactly what Jesus had in mind. So kind of put yourself in that mindset as we go through this. And at the end, see what kind of mindset you have in the end. So as we start out, so Jesus went on to say, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me. What do you think they were thinking? And it's opened up to conversation a little bit. What do you think the apostles thought when he said, you're not going to see me pretty soon, but then you'll see me again? Sounds like he might be going away. But do you think they had any idea what he's talking about yet? So they're going, this is interesting. So at this, some of the disciples said one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and in a little while you will see me? And because I am going to the Father, they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. So you got your, I would consider Jesus probably one of their best friends, right? Following around, doing all these things with him, spending 3 years, and now he's saying, I'm going to be gone from you guys for a little while, but then I'm coming back. I'm going to the Father, but then you're going to see me again. Like, what in the world? Totally confused right now. Kind of, had any of you guys in them shoes once in a while on earth? Like, I'm totally confused. I don't know what's going on. Thank you. I got one person that's brave enough to be with me. Verse 19, Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, and he said to them, why are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and in a little while you will see me? Verily, truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. Now what do you think is going through their minds? Oh man, this doesn't sound so good. I thought this was going to be something different, but now it doesn't sound very good to me. Truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn a while the world rejoices. That's tough. You will grieve, but your grief then will turn to joy. So you're going to go through these weird feelings, you're going to go through a bunch of mourning, and then all of a sudden you're going to be joyful. What is he talking about? Could you imagine being in the apostle's shoes right there and listening, like, what in the world? And then it gets even weirder. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because the joy of a child is born into the world. How many people have had children here? How many women? Only women, please. Thank you. Was it painful? And you had medicine probably to dull some of the pain. No? Natural? How painful was it? Crazy painful? When did that pain go away?
The moment I heard a cry.
The moment they were born. It's just like, boom, goes away, right? The joy overcame the sadness. That's what Jesus said is going to happen to you guys. You guys are going to be that mournful. So how mournful would that be? Beyond comprehension how mournful they're going to be, right? But that will give away. So with you, now your time of grief, but you will see again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. No one will take away your joy. In that day you will no longer ask anything of me. Verily, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So now it's starting to sound pretty good, right? I see this great thing coming, but what do we still have to go through yet? The grieving, the pain. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I no longer use this kind of language, but I tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask me my name. I am not asking that I will ask my Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and you have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father. So now do you think they're getting a little bit clearer picture of what might be happening? I think maybe a little bit, but they still don't know exactly what's going to happen, so they're confused, right? It's kind of taking your whole world that you know right now and turning upside down right on top of you in an instant like that. Believe me, you're going to understand when we get to the end of this. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. And now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." So now they're getting a clear picture, right? At least they know who he is. They know he's from God for sure. "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. Believe what? What do you think he's asking? What do you believe?
Who he is.
Yeah. Do you now believe who I've been telling you and showing you who I am for the last 3 years? Do you finally believe? "A time is coming, and the fact has come, when you will be scattered." When were they scattered? What is he talking about? When did they scatter? When he got taken, right? When they plucked him up, take him into custody, they scattered. "You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone. My Father is with me." Can we say the same thing for us? If you feel all alone in this world, are you all alone in this world? Absolutely not. Because Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that you in me may have peace." In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So he's telling them, just calm down. Trust in me. Lean on me. Because I have overcome the world. You don't have to worry about all these things. You don't have to be overwhelmed with all these things. I'm here. And I'm going to take care of all this for you. That's what he did for us, right? So now we're just going to go into our lives, right? So what do you think the apostles were thinking at the end? After Jesus said this last two sentences, "I have told you these things, that you and me may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." What do you think the apostles are thinking right now? Do you think they're really worried like they were kind of in the middle there after he said you're going to go through all this pain? Do you think some of that worry may have got distinguished a little bit when he said this? Yeah. Has he said the same thing to us? I'll actually give you a verse at the end where he did say almost the exact same thing to us. But now we're going to go in here. This is where I want you guys to focus on your own lives, okay? So how many people have crazy lives? Okay. So when I start saying these things, think of this as this is part of your life that gives you stress or not. You don't have to raise your hand or not, but just think, okay? Jobs, does it give you stress? School, does it give you stress? Well, I can tell you're all stressed out already. Sports, does sports give you stress? There's a few in here, probably even parents. Sports, does it give you stress? Because I know it does, because it's just crazy. You're running all over the place all the time, and then you got to deal with the sports parents. Cleaning house. Paying bills, especially today. Maintaining your house, your cars, everything you got. Shopping for groceries. Cooking. Doing dishes. Doing laundry. Worrying about kids. And then worrying about the grandkids. Maybe the nieces, the nephews. Worrying about your parents. Or worrying about your grandparents. Anybody worry about any of that stuff?
Yes.
Anybody worry about a lot of that stuff?
Yes.
On top of that, maybe you have some issues with parents. Kids, family. Anybody ever have family issues pop up?
Yeah.
Everybody raise your hand. Thank you. Maybe somebody's talking nasty about you behind your back. Maybe somebody's trying to stab you down. Maybe somebody's trying to drag you down or drag you into the pit with them, right? You ever have people like that trying to drag you into the pit? Maybe they're picking apart everything you do. You do this, I'm going to pick you apart. I'm just going to nitpick everything, right? It gets annoying. Maybe you're putting their knife in your back. Just twisting it. That's called what? Gossip. That's part of gossip. Maybe you're having to work with those that cause you this trouble and this distress. That's hard when you actually have a job that you got to go to and you know it's going to be nothing but strife. That's tough. Maybe you are around somebody that isn't happy unless they're angry. You ever have those people around you? Who wants to be around those people? Who wants to be that kind of a person? There's a lot of them though, right? Sometimes I'm that kind of person. Don't want to be that way. Maybe you're just tired. How many people just are tired of everything? You're not? Well, you're getting old, so you got more time not to be tired. Maybe you're under your rope. You ever think, I can't take any more? I just can't do it. If one more thing happens today, I don't know. And maybe you're at the point of you're sick of life. You just don't want to do anymore. And that's very prevalent today. And I pray if anybody is here today, lean on us, because it's not that bad. It might look that bad. A lot of times we see things that aren't there. And like I've said in my class before, when you dig yourself into a hole, all you see is darkness. But if you look up, you'll see the light. You'll see the light. I told you Jesus told us the same thing he told his apostles, right? Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, he said, all who labor and are heavy laden. Sometimes you guys feel like you're labored and heavy laden with these things. He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Does he ever say you're going to find rest for your body? Doesn't mean the craziness of life is going to stop, but you're going to be content. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lean on Christ and you'll start seeing some things. I've got a list of a few things that I went through that I found when I started living Christ more happened to me. Without Christ, these are some things that you'll never have. And the young ones, I really want you to listen to this, because a lot of you young ones haven't accepted Christ yet. These are some things that you'll never have unless you accept Him and submit to Him. You're never going to have true peace. Young people are going, what are you talking about? You could have the hardest thing happening to you at a time. You could have maybe your parents die, or maybe some of your friends die, or maybe a friend commits suicide or something, and it's going to crush you. Without Christ, it's going to absolutely destroy you. With Christ, if you're in the right mind with Christ, you're still going to be crushed, but your hope is not going to be crushed. Because your hope is with Christ, and that will never move. In this world of total change all the time, we need something solid, correct? When you're sick of life, why is that? You have nothing to hold on to, do you? You have nothing you can lean upon that you have faith will not topple over. Because who are you leaning on? Nobody, yourself. That will never hold up. You have to have Christ. You'll never know this true peace. How many people have this true peace that I'm talking about? How many people can explain it? It's a peace that passes all understanding. And there's a reason he said that, because you just don't. It's hard to even tell you, but you have peace. No matter what happens to me, I know I'm okay because Christ has me. It's something you just can't say, really. You're never going to be content with life, truly content with life. Paul said he was content no matter if he was rich or he was poor, if he was well-fed or if he was hungry. He was content with life when he got beat half to death, thrown out the city, because you know why? He got back up and went back in and preaching the only one that can save any of us. And as in a class this morning, I said, don't look at the messenger. Paul never said, look at me. The only time he said that is when I'm imitating Christ. Always focus on Christ. If you can focus on Christ and you have him in your life, you can be content with whatever happens to you. Nothing's ever guaranteed that we're going to have a home, a job. We're going to have what it takes to live. That's all that Christ ever promised us. That could be a meal a day. That could be a meal every other day. So, if you're going to be content, you have to have Christ. Because that's a picture you look at down the road, not today, down the road. And you're never going to have true security without Christ. I know you young people think, I'm all right. You know, when I was in high school, I had four of my friends die on prom night because they ran through a train's tracks and they got hit by a train and the car exploded. I guarantee you they thought the same way you did. I got the rest of my life. Whatever. Doesn't matter to me. I'll just pick up whenever and I'll submit to him then. You need the security now just in case something happens. And that's not the reason to be saved. But that's a gift of salvation, is the security that Christ gives you. Christ loves you so much, he's given that to us through his death. You're never going to be free from true anxiety without Christ completely taking over your life. Do you think Paul had anxiety? How do we know that? All the time. He's, my biggest worry is about the churches, he said. Yeah, I don't care about all the stonings, everything. The biggest worries are the churches. But what did he have lead that anxiety out of his life? He always leaned on Christ. He said, Christ will make it okay. It's okay to be anxious. It's not okay to let your anxiety lead your life. And with Christ, he can help you not do that. Freedom from temptation. Are we ever going to be free from temptation? Maybe at periods of life, maybe. But when temptation comes, what freedom does Christ give us? He gives us a way out. Lean on me. Study the Word. Temptation's hitting you, study the Word. Pray. Call one of your brothers and sisters up. Say, I'm struggling with this right now. Can you help me out? He's given us many ways. We all fall in temptation, but whose fault is it? It's ours. We can't blame anybody but us. He's given us all kinds of ways to get out, especially today with cell phones. We have no reason not to be free from temptation. At least be able to fight temptation, right? This is kind of what we're going to be tackling at the gospel meeting. You're never going to have true fellowship with God or true fellowships with your brothers and with the people around you, brothers and sisters, without Christ running your life. How can we have fellowship with God without Christ? Christ told us there's one way to God, right? One way to his Father, and that's through him. So what's one way to have true fellowship with the believers too? Who do we got to go through? Got to go through Jesus to have true fellowship with him. Spiritual fellowship, that's the only way. Christ is the only way to have true fellowship. This is the one that young people are really not going to understand. You won't have true grace or mercy without Christ. You're just not. You're not going to understand what it means to have true grace and true mercy without Christ. Christ was mercy. Christ was grace. He was the epitome of both, while coming down and dying for his own creation. That's just hard for me to even grasp sometimes. So God creates us all, says everything is very good, but I'm going to have to go down and die for these idiots. I'm going to have to go die for them because they're not very smart. They like going away from me, and they won't learn that it's not the right path. But you're never going to find the true path without Christ, the true path of grace and mercy without Christ. He wants everybody so bad. How bad does he want him? Want everybody? He came down and went through all this garbage that we just said that we go through innocently and perfectly so we could have a rescue boat from sin. That's amazing to me. You know me, I don't preach very long. Paul said, preach the simple gospel of the cross. Simple gospel of the cross is Jesus Christ wants you no matter where you're at today. I don't care. I don't care if you're 15 and you believe in Christ and you know you're a sinner, that he's meeting you there. I don't care if you're 60, 70 and you've been following him, but now you're falling away. He wants you back. He wants you there. He meets us where we're at, and then he wants us to go to a higher plane with him. sometimes we don't realize that. Sometimes we say, I'm sinning, so I'm worthless. Corinthians, the letter of 1 Corinthians, as we've been studying, was full of people living for themselves and not showing each other love. But yet Paul opens the whole book up with saying, my brethren, the saved ones through Christ, you are still my brethren. You're failing, though, but Christ wants you back. He wants you to concentrate on one another and putting others first, as I did. Christ put us all before himself. And all he's asking you is to put him in front of yourself. And you can figure out what this true peace is. It is a peace that's just crazy. Sometimes it's just amazing. Because I'll find out something bad, and if it's a believer, and I know they're believers, I'm almost a smile comes on my face. It's just weird. I know that sounds really weird to some people. But if I know they are with Christ and they die, it's not a moment to be sorrowful. It's a moment to be joyful. I want to be there. I want to be there. If I die tonight, I told my wife I don't want a funeral. I want a bonfire with fireworks. That's the true peace that you can feel. That's a true security that you can have. And as Paul says, just come to him now. Don't tarry, Jesus said. Don't tarry, don't wait. There's no reason to wait. And if you need help getting back on track, don't wait. What happens when you try to delay something today? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. And all of a sudden, 2 years you're down the road and go, man, that's my life has not gotten any better. And my relationship with God is broken. Don't wait. If there's anything that we can help you with this morning, please come forward. We'll lean on one another. Be a spiritual family as we're supposed to be, right? And if you want to submit to Christ, I tell you what, the angels are waiting to rejoice. And that's what they do when somebody comes to Christ. It's not something that's saying, my life is now going to be blah. Because, I mean, some young people probably think that. I know the way they think sometimes. And they go, man, if I give it to Christ, now I can't do all these other things. But Christ has come to me and you can do all these great things. You can help the kingdom. You can grow the kingdom. You can serve one another. You can be the least among us will be the greatest up in heaven. And Christ showed that with us by doing the least of things, by washing the feet of the one that betrayed him. Just come to Christ this morning. If it's for salvation or if it's for repentance, either way, we're here and willing to do it. So we're here as a family. So if you have anything, come forward, please, as we stand and sing.